Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Ah, happy Father's Day. How many of you know Mother's Day is a big deal? Father's Day, not so much. We kind of get ripped off a little bit, but that's okay. And I'll talk to you why that's okay in just a little bit. I gave my dad, because my could y'all just say a prayer? My grandmother is still alive. I have one grandma, and she's still alive. And my other grandmother passed, but my mama's mama, my great-grandmother lived to be 99. And then my grandmother is now 90. And my mom and dad aren't going to be here today. We had a celebration on Friday for Father's Day. My grandmother just got admitted to the hospital, having little complications with her heart, had a little mild heart attack. And of course, my mom's going, we need to get this fixed. And I go, Mom, she's 90. I mean, she's 90. Things can happen when you're 90. And she's still got a lot of energy. We're just throwing up for her. She's going to be fine. And so my mom and dad had to run to Houston to be with her. So we had a celebration for Father's Day. So he won't be here today, but I gave him, this is in a nutshell, this is Father's Day. I gave my dad $100 and told him to buy himself something that would make his life easier. So he went out and he bought a present for my mother. How many of y'all with me? That's Father's Day right there. Happy Father's Day. One more time. Put your hands together for all of our daddies. We love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. Thank you, Vic. And I just want to just say, you know, how proud I am on behalf of Heidi and I and our team, staff, how proud we are of you men and our fathers. And I know there's not a perfect dad in the room. I know you're not perfect. And I know Father's Day, I think William mentioned, can bring up positive emotions, and it can bring up some negative emotions too. But I want to just tell you a promise that is in the Word of the Lord, in the Bible, in the Word of God. It said that he would be a father to the fatherless. And there's a reason why there is a thing called the spiritual family, a church, and that the psalmist wrote that the Lord puts the lonely into families so that we can learn and we can see and have a good representation of what a real father really looks like. And I just want to tell you how proud I am of men in this church. In our culture where men are running out, inside of this church, there's a bunch of men that are running in. And I'm so proud of you, and we love you, and would you just keep doing what you're doing? Come on, give it up for the men. And so I know we're talking about, so today's kind of a message. I'm entitling it All In Dad, and it's kind of specific for fathers or the future farmer fathers of America, FFA, future fathers of America. And so girls, you're kind of off the hook today a little bit. So this is for the dads and future dads, and I just want to really speak to them. Now, if this was Mother's Day, Mother's Day is usually nurturing and encouraging to, because mama's, it's just different. But Father's Day usually is kind of more challenging, and I really want to challenge the men today, and I hope that you kind of tune in. Men, lean in just a little bit. You know, when it comes to parenting and fatherhood, motherhood, I don't know if you, I'm speaking as a father. We don't always know if we're doing a good job or not. We just really don't know. In fact, I heard someone say this one time, and I thought it's probably pretty true. You probably don't even really realize what kind of parent you really were till your kids get to about 40. Then you'll know if you was a good parent or not when your kids get to that age. So the jury's probably still out for most of us, whether we did a good job or not. But I love the promise of the Word that the Lord will make up the difference of where we've fallen short. He always makes up the difference. Can I get a good amen? And I know there's no perfect father in the room, and I'm surely not one of them. But I know there's some good daddies in the room, and I want to just encourage you today. I want to just talk about the all-in father, the all-in dad, and I think the best way is really to talk about God as our Father. In fact, it was Jesus, when his disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray, that Jesus is going to give us Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. This is very key. He says, when you pray in this manner, therefore I want you to pray. And he said, I want you to use this language, our Father. Say that with me, our Father. Now this is key, this is good. I want to make sure that you understand the connotation. When Jesus used the word Father, it wasn't formal, it was very informal. It wasn't Father. Old Testament, they might have called God Jehovah, they might have called God Yahweh, but in the New Testament, Jesus is going to say, no, when you talk to God, I want you to address him this way. I want you to address him as Father. I want you to, in fact, it wasn't even the formal word Father, it was actually the informal word Daddy. Daddy, or I don't know what you call your dad. You might have called him something different than Daddy. An informal term, a term of affection. You might have called him Pop, or Poppy, or Papa, or Dad, or Daddy. My daughter Hannah, when she calls me, she goes, okay, Eugene. She calls me by my first name. I think that's a term of affection. Is it?
Yes.
It is? Okay, good. I'm just... It is kind of funny. She's on the phone. She's, okay, whatever, Eugene. I'm going, hey, wait a minute, I'm your daddy. And so that's what Jesus was talking. Look, I want you to address him. I want you to have such a relationship with him that it goes from formal to a very close personal. Go from a formal relationship to a personal relationship with him that you can cry out, Abba, which means daddy. You can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think, men, we have a big responsibility that with that title, Father, is actually the same title that God holds. Now, we hold that same... Girls, that's pressure. That the Father is called the Father and that we're called the same title, the Father. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think one is that I think part of our responsibility of being dads, being Poppy, being Eugene, is that we have that same title and that we are to be, and I know we're not perfect at it, and I'm confessing my own faults here, we're not perfect at it, but we are to be a reflection of, maybe an image of, maybe even sometimes we hit it right where we show our kids, our earthly children, a little bit of the same characteristics that God the Father actually has. A pattern. In fact, I think there is a pattern that God has set for us in which we as earthly fathers should emulate or at least attempt to emulate how he fathers us. I've been asked a couple of times to write something about fathering. I feel a little bit inadequate about it because I know my own weaknesses about writing about how to be a good father. Someone asked, how do you raise godly children? And I said, honestly, I don't know the real answer to that, how you raise godly children. But I can see some patterns of how God has raised me and how God is raising us, his children. And I think we ought to emulate some of the same patterns. Are y'all tracking with me so far? That he set a great example that maybe we ought to reflect some of the very same things. So, girls, we've got a little extra pressure on us that we carry this same title that God the Father carries, and that we are to be a little, give our children at least a pretty decent image of what God is like by how we raise and raise our children. So girls, can we get a little encouragement from you today and just say, we got a tougher job on some cases than maybe even you do. Can I get an amen from the girls? And so thank you for that love. Again, Mother's Day is always encouraging. We love you, mamas. You're awesome. And then Father's Day comes along, and the message is usually a little more challenging. So if I was to write a book, and I thought about this a lot, going, what did God do to me in raising me to become a man of God? How did the Holy Spirit work in my own life? Because that's how I need to make sure that maybe I'm emulating that in my own children's life. And so I listed probably five things that I'm not perfect at. And so please, I'm not up here standing as the perfect father because I'm not. But I can tell you some things that I have learned about fathering. And I want to list a few of those today. And maybe this would be a few of the chapters maybe in the book that I probably will never write. Number one, let me give you five thoughts today of that I've learned from the Father. And here's number one. And I think it's important that our children know this from their Father, is because this is how I know God loves each one of us. Number one, He loves me, and nothing is going to change that. I think that's important that our kids know that the love that you have for them is not based on any performance at all. That you don't love them any more if they win the gold medal, and you don't love them any less if they get last place. So, in fact, let me show you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, to show you that it's not based on performance, that God just simply loves you. Let me show you in the scripture, reading the Living Bible. But God is so rich in mercy that He loved us, say that with me, that He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, that means that God loved you even when you were far away from Him, not serving Him, not loving Him back, not worshiping Him, not giving Him the credit that He deserves, not being grateful, not giving, not sacrificing, that He loved you when you were way lost and doing your own thing back when you was a player. He still loved you so much. It really had nothing to do with your performance at all. That ought to make you shout. That He just loves you. He just loves you. That our kids ought to just love them. It doesn't matter what they do. And then I love this. Look what Romans 5 and 8 says. I want to just show it to you. But God demonstrates. Can y'all highlight demonstrates in yellow for next service? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to just highlight this word right here, demonstrates. Can I say to you, as a father, it doesn't come natural to us that we ought to demonstrate our love for our families. It ought to be demonstrated. There ought to be words that were used. It's really easy for the girls. They're more naturally, more nurturing. And plus they use, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but women use more words than men. Did y'all know that? And the men said amen. Yeah, they do. They use words and it comes more natural. But I think He's telling us something. Hey, daddy, your words, you need to make sure you're demonstrating the love that you have for your children. It needs to be tangible. There needs to be a demonstration of that love. Here's the reason why. Ladies or mamas are going to say they love their children. They're going to be nurturing and tender to their children. It comes natural. But for a man, I just want you to know that we don't use as many words as our wives would use. Our words do carry more weight than the weight of our wives' words. And so it ought to be expressed. It ought to be demonstrated. There has to be some sort of demonstration. And I want to just share this thought with you that the Father, much like us fathers, and the Heavenly Father sees the Alpha. He is called the Alpha and the Omega, which means He is the beginning and the end. So He doesn't just see you where you are today. He sees the seed and the potential of what you can be, and He speaks to that just as much as He speaks to where you're at. So let me make sure you get this. Now, He sees what you can be. He sees the seed inside of you. So He speaks to that just as much as He speaks to where you are today. Let me give you some examples. He shows up on the scene to a fearful man by the name of Gideon. And here is the greeting that He gives to Gideon. Mighty warrior, that he saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself, and he's speaking to what he sees in him. And when you speak to what you see in somebody, you usually end up getting what you've spoken over their life. And so I want to teach you a few words. I want to teach you four letters. Ready? Say this with me. Say, I see in you. I see in you. And I think that's what God does to us as his children, and that's what fathers ought to do to their children. Not only speak to where they are, but to speak to what they could be. I see in you. Because your words carry more weight than your wife's words carry. This is the way God made us. I see in you. I see this in you. That's why when the prophet came to Jesse's sons and he saw and he brought him in, how many of you know, man saw a shepherd boy, but God saw a king. And so God always speaks to what he sees in you. He sees it in you. And if you only deal with today instead of what you see, whichever man you speak to is the one you're going to end up getting. Are you with me? I see this in you. So there's a reason why young people, your parents get upset about the report card. It's because they see something else in you. Parents, you got to speak to today, the Alpha, but you also got to speak to the Omega, saying, I see something greater in you, son. There's the only reason why I'm bringing this up, because God has more for you, and I see in you. Are y'all with me? Right? And so I want to make sure. I didn't start this. It was actually Pastor Jacob. I say something to all of our men. I call all of our men really by the same title. You guys know what that is. When I greet you, I say, what's up? Man of God. Now, Pastor Jacob's actually the one who started that with me, with us. You know, he was like, man of God, man of God, man of God, man of God. Can I be honest with you? There's some days when I didn't feel like a man of God. But how many of you know it's not just where you are, it's the seed inside of you. And so through the years, Pastor Jacobs, that one day you end up growing, I'm a man of God. I am a man of God. And therefore, that's the reason why we say things like that over you. A man of God, man of God, man. And I know there were days you didn't feel like a man of God when someone greeted you that way or called you up and out by using that term. If you're going to, the only thing I've learned is that that's what God does to me, then that's what we ought to do to our children. Are y'all with me so far? All right, let me give you the second thought. So number one, he loves me. Nothing's going to change that. He sees the Alpha and the Omega, and he speaks to both of them. And then also that I've learned that God is just. He is just. Actions have consequences. And so from my role and your role as a father, discipline was always my responsibility, though Heidi was always on deck. She was always on board. That just simply means that discipline is part of my primary responsibility. And for Heidi, it was her secondary responsibility if I wasn't there. And I love what Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7 says to us. It says, for the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Anybody ever been disciplined by the Lord? And he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And as you endure the divine discipline, I want you to remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by a father? And part of our role is to discipline our children. Now, I know discipline today, you can get a bad rap about disciplining your children. But I want to just tell you, it's part of our responsibilities. Actions do have consequences. Let me make sure that you do understand what I'm talking about. The goal of discipline is never just the correction. It's to teach your children something. It's actually a teaching tool. And I just want to make sure that I do this. In fact, when our children were small, you know, I would spank them. Is that okay to say these days? Is that okay to say? I don't know. Is it bad? Okay. There was never any counting. Heidi and I talked about this. We decided, you know what? Let's teach our children to obey our voice. If they don't obey our voice, then we'll discipline them. And there was a reason why. Because we wanted them to learn to obey God's voice when God speaks to them. So we wanted them to learn. So we just made a little pact. We said, let's don't raise our voice to our kids. I don't think, there might have been a time or two where we all went, what are you doing? I don't ever remember a time that we ever did that. When they were little, we would just say, go clean your room. And if they didn't obey, then we would discipline them. And so we wanted to teach them. The reason for discipline was never to harm, not even to bring correction to the action. It was to teach them something. And so we wanted to teach them. And so I would spank them when they were little. And Heidi would spank them too. But if I was there, I'd spank them. And it was real simple. I'd put them over, you know, when they're little, 14, 15. No, I mean, when they were little. And I would just swat them three times. One, two, three. Is that good, Connie? Okay, yeah. Just to be three, you know, daddy's bringing you here. We're going to spank you because you didn't obey. And when mom and dad say, go do something, you need to obey. And you didn't obey. And so come on. You know, you do all that. They do the same thing that your kids do. And you'd go, come here. And you'd put them over and you never do it in anger. There were times I was angry. I'd have to wait until I wasn't angry anymore. One, two, three, and then I'd hold them. And then, I'd pray, Father, forgive them. They disobey, but thank you that you forgive us. And Daddy, Mom and Daddy forgive you too, baby. We forgive you. It's okay. It's over. It's done. Done. But next time, let me teach you something. When Mom and Daddy tell you to do something, you have to obey. Do you understand? Yes, Daddy, I will obey. Okay. Here's what I found out about discipline and love. Discipline and love doesn't push you away from your children or cause your children to go away from you. It actually causes them to come closer to you. Why? Because it shows them that you really love them and that you care about them. That's good preaching. Daddy, it's our responsibility. Why? Because that's what the Father does to us. Actions have consequences. He is a just God, and he will discipline us because he loves us. And it's always to draw us back into relationship, never to separate us. It's always to bring us back into right relationship. And then I would say to my children, once it was over, once we hugged, kissed, it was all over, wipe your face. It's all good. We're all good. And we'd all go back, and they'd come out going, hey, what's y'all doing? You know, it was all over. And so that's part of our responsibility and part of our role as being a father, to show that reflection of what God is really like. Number three, God is not only just, actions have consequences, but God is merciful. Can you say amen? What do I mean by mercy? I mean, you don't always get what you do deserve. That's called mercy. When someone lets you off the hook. And there were times where we let our children off the hook, where we gave them mercy. It is our job. Whenever our children were repentive and broken by their action, we always, not always, but often, let them off the hook and showed them the mercy of God. One of my favorite passages of scriptures is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for the mercy of the Lord. Amen. By the way, when our kids got older, somebody's asked me, when did you stop spanking your children? And I said, well, when doing something else hurt more than spanking. And you'll know when that is. Because when they go, okay, and you spank them, and they go, okay, so can I keep my phone? After you're done. When they get big enough to spank you, don't spank them anymore, okay? No, when they were little, you know, you spank them when they're little. But as they got older, then you start taking away privileges that that hurt worse. They were like, no, don't take my phone. Spank me. Spank. When they're asking for you to spank them, then you know you've got the right, right? And then let me give you the fourth thought. The Father is both Lion and He is the Lamb. He's both. He's a Lion and He is a Lamb. And what do I mean? What does that mean by being the Lion? I think that means, and I think we've lost this in our culture as well. I think the media and Hollywood has tried to, can I say this, emasculate men. And it's tried to ostracize them, push them out. I think it is being strong. We need strong men. Our community needs strong men. We need strong leaders in our community. I hope and pray that by you being a part of the ministry here, that it's causing you, and there's countless men that I can name by name, that you're not even the same man that we met 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, that you're getting stronger and stronger, and you're a good sample and a good example to our community. I'm so proud of you. Now, but I think our nation needs it. Our community desperately needs men that are strong and believe in who they are and in their faith. And so I think it's that. I think when I think of a lion, I think of courage, and I think courageous men who are willing to stand up for what's right, protectors. I think that's our job. Our role is to protect, to pour in courage, not only to be courageous, but to be an encourager, to cause other men to be full of courage. But it's also the Lamb, which is, it was really a provision. It's a place of provision. The Lamb of God was here to sacrifice, to provide a way that we could have our sins forgiven. And I think that's our responsibility as well, is to sacrifice. That's why Father's Day is not that big a deal. You probably ask your husband or you ask your father, Dad, what? My kids ask me every year, and I always say the same thing. I've said the same thing for Hillary's 26, and I've said the same thing for 26 years. What do you want for Father's Day? And I say the same thing. I said it this morning to Hannah when she said, Happy Father's Day. And I said, I know what I want. What do you want, Dad? And I said, all I do, I want your kids to behave. I just want your kids to behave. Father's Day, we're not used to gifts and that kind of thing. It's not even that honestly, it's really, I don't know, maybe you might be different, but it's really not that, it's not the gift. It's not the gift. In fact, I'm going to tell you at the end, what does your father or your husband really want for Father's Day? I'm going to tell you what he wants. I'm going to help you. If you hadn't bought anything yet, don't buy it. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead and get the gift. Because it brings me to number five. You prove your manhood, you prove your fatherhood by your obedience to God. You really prove what kind of man you really are. Help me out, Vic. What you really are. Pastor Jacob invited me some years ago to a little ceremony they were having for one of his sons. And it was really a kind of a rite of passage for one of his sons, kind of from boy to man. And he asked me to write a few words to his son. And so I did. And I came up with two words that separates boys and men. Number one, I've already talked about it, is courage. It takes courage to be a man. And then the second is it takes responsibility to be a man. Being a man is all about responsibility. I don't know, but here's how I kind of picture it one day. I will stand before God one day, and I'll present to Him the woman that He gave me. Here she is. I'm responsible. Heidi's smarter than I am. Your wife is smarter than you. Okay. The Bible calls the woman the weaker vessel. I don't know. The Bible, I think it just means that men can usually do more push-ups than women. That's what it usually means. That's all it really means. We can just do 20 and y'all can do 10 or something. I don't know. Y'all can do more things. Girls can do Multitask. Y'all can do 25 things at one time. We are amazed at that. Y'all send us to the grocery store to get, do not give us more than three things. Two is better. If you only give us two, there's a pretty good chance we're going to come back with two. But if you give us three, we're going to come back with two or four. We're not going to come back with three. We're going to see something. Oh, well, we need popcorn too. You know, we're going to get something else. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with responsibility. You've heard me preach many times. I've confronted people in our church who are living together. And I would say to the man, you want the privileges of marriage, you just don't want the responsibilities of marriage. Because there's a difference between being a boy and a man means I'm willing to take responsibility. That means with responsibility, I have a responsibility, first, to be a Christian. Second, I have a responsibility to be a husband. Third, I have a responsibility to be a father. And fourth, I have, in this order, and in fourth, I have a responsibility to be a pastor. Can I tell you, because of responsibility, that means I've had to say no to my flesh. Yes to God and no to my flesh, because I can't do that. Yay, man, you want to do that? I'm sorry. Thank you, but I can't. Because I have responsibility. Say no to flesh. Could I just tell you, responsibility has been I have to say yes to God and have to say no to some of my friends through the years. Sorry, can't do that. Because I have responsibility. Let me give you a third one. This will set you free. You'll say yes to God, and you may have to say no, not only to your flesh, not only to some of your friends, but you may have to say no to some of your failures. And everybody, look right here. I've failed as a father. You've failed at times as a father. The enemy would love to keep your failures over you to keep you from operating in the God-given responsibility that you have. When you repent to God and you repent to your children, to those you've hurt, God forgives you, your children forgive you, and then you need to step into your responsibility and go forward and carry it out and not be held back by your past failures. We need the men of God in this house to take on the responsibility of being a father and leaders in this house. Do you see that? So, let me recap. I just want you to make sure. God loves you. Nothing's going to change that. God is just. God is merciful. God is lion and lamb. And you prove your manhood by your obedience to God. Men, may we be a reflection of that to our children. Do y'all receive this word? Now let me tell you, ladies, let me tell you, children, let me tell you what, and men, what your father wants. You girls, y'all, we love y'all. Girls are more emotionally aware than us men. Probably more spiritually aware many times than us men. Here's all we really want. When it's Mother's Day, we love you. You're amazing. I love you. You're awesome. Baby, you're an awesome wife. I love you. You're amazing. You're an amazing mother. But men, here's what they want. All they want to hear is that thank you and that you respect and admire what they've done. I know there's those things that they're still trying to work on. But today, if you would just let your father know what you do respect and admire about him, you're gonna make tears gonna come down his eyes. Because that's all he's ever wanted to know was that he was respected and admired for something. All of us grew up wanting the respect and admiration. We wanted it from our daddies, but sometimes our daddies only loved us as much as they were loved. And sometimes if we hear it from our kids, or if we hear it from our wife, if we hear it from those that are closest to us, you just poured all kinds of encouraging words up in him, and you're going to watch him rise up to meet the very words that you spoke to him. This time. Just go home and say, I so admire you for, and you start filling in the blank, and you're going to watch him just melt like a little schoolgirl. It's worth it. I love you, kids. I'm going to go to work. Just make sure he knows how much you admire and respect him today. You receive that word? You receive it? I want to pray for our fathers, and then Christians, we're going to pray because we're going to invite people who've never been born again to be born again today. Father, I thank you for our men, for our fathers, and even our future fathers of America. Father, I pray for them today. Our nation needs it. Our community really, really needs it. We need some men who will grow up in this house, who will be a representation of who you really are. Father, first to their own family, and second to our church, and third to our community. So I pray that today, Father, we'll recognize and see the correlation that we are to be the image bearer. We are to be the one who follows the pattern that you have set before us, and that will represent your name and your title well. I pray, Father, that today would be a day of honoring, a day of blessing, Father, maybe even a day of challenge to the fathers in this room, that today we'd say, from now on, I'm going to fulfill our role as a father to my family, and in the house of God, and in my community. So, Father, I pray over these men today. May today be a great day of honor for them. In the precious name of Jesus. Christians, would you pray? Listen, congregation, today I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you ever been born again? Maybe today you come in. I'm not asking, have you been christened? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm asking, have you been born again? Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. He's not really your father until you've been born again. You say, Pastor, you, how do I become born again? It's as simple as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short. It's just admitting it. B, believe that Christ alone became the bearer of your sin, your shame, and your guilt. He died on a cross to be the penalty payer to pay for our sins. And then C, just confess him today as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's always loved you. In fact, he even knew today would be here. In fact, he even knew you would hear these words today. And today he's inviting you to be born again. If that's you today, I want to pray for you right now. No one's looking but me. If that's you and you say, Pastor, you remember me in this prayer, would you just hold your hand up real high all over the building real quick? Hold it up high. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see. I got 5 hands that have gone up today. Thank you, Jesus. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen.